Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Bill Ryder with you back in beautiful Los Angeles, California, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. A lot to get to. Executive producer Thomas DiBenedetto, producer underscore Tom, flew across America, high above many of our beautiful states, including, I believe, my home state of Iowa, just to land at LAX and to have the opportunity to be in studio with me where he cannot speak into a microphone to tell you about his adventure to see DeGrom pitch against the Padres. He went down to San Diego, nor to talk about the U.S. men's national team's remarkable instant classic victory over Mexico in the Random Cup. It's actually not called the Random Cup, but I'm going to call it the Random Cup because the microphones aren't working other than mine. But I got one that works here in beautiful our home offices on the West Coast. So you'll just have to hear Tom shouting in the distance across the room, separated from me by plastic. It's a few feet instead of, many, many thousands of miles, but it feels so much further. But you can be close to us by calling at 855-212-4CBS or Twitter Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Andrew Bogish, I believe, will be on updates. I've called him 9 times and he hasn't picked up for fear that I want to talk to him about aliens. We'll figure out what's going on with that. So we'll talk a little soccer later in the show. Go America! Julio Jones is a Titan, and he was had for, I believe, a six-pack of beer. And we'll get into that in about 30 or 40 minutes. We'll preview some of the night's NBA action. We'll talk some baseball. I think we're going to do buy or sell at the end of the show. Everything's a little uncertain on this. Tom comes to town and everything stops working. It's kind of like when I went to Stanford for CBS Sports HQ last week. It's where our studios are based. And I sat down and we went live. I don't know, some news. Anthony Davis was playing. And my IFB and my microphone just went out. They just stopped. I'm a walking EMP on the East Coast, and apparently that's what Tom is out here on the West Coast. Hope you had a good weekend. A lot of things to get into, but I want to start here. You know, there's nothing more exciting for me as a sports fan than watching greatness begin the process of asserting itself. Coco Gauff just advanced. Teenager, U.S. teenager at the French Open to the quarterfinals for the first time in a Grand Slam in her career. We have talked about McKinney and Pulisic and Rania and this group of would-be saviors for American soccer, which, by the way, is pretty easy to roll your eyes at since we've been talking about the saviors of American soccer for a long time. And yet you saw yesterday in Denver against Mexico in the Random Cup. I don't know what it's called. Actually, I do know what it's called. I'm just going to call it the Random Cup. But it's a win, and it was beautiful. Those three guys assert themselves in a real and serious way, and a goalie that no one's ever heard of step in and be a hero, and that was amazing. But for Gauff, there's still a path that has to be forged, and it's very unlikely she'll win the French Open. For the U.S. men's national team, that was an incredible win, and actually I think a significant one as it relates to bringing this group together, but it's not even the qualification for the World Cup, let alone the massive and probably unfair expectations that are in front of them. Because at every step and every stage, there are going to be adversaries with the same level of excellence, but actually a history of success, and that's a different thing. And that's what Luka Doncic ran into against Kawhi Leonard in that Game 7. In a a perfect series, a bizarro NBA opening round playoff series for what has been a bizarro 14 months in this country in sports and certainly beyond sports. Luka Doncic, by the way, not just Doncic, Trae Young is asserting himself in historical ways. Luka Doncic was historically remarkable in that series. Luka Doncic has, in 13 playoff games, 13 in his career, more 40-point postseason performances or better, 40 points or better, than Tim Duncan, than Karl Malone, than a whole host of Hall of Famers and Hall of Famers-to-be. And you saw the excellence in that game yesterday, 46 points. That dude had 46, 7, and 14. 5 of 11 from the three-point line. And if you watch the game, one of the things that's amazing about him is the way in which he simply controls and dominates the pace of play, especially offensively. Not a traditional point guard. Not a point guard in the sense of, say, Chris Paul. There's a methodical slowness to his game that you can mistake for a lack of athleticism. And let me say this, too. I hate even citing Twitter. Like, saying I saw on Twitter is sort of like saying I heard a stupid person say. Like, who cares? But there was a little Luka slander out there. He didn't play great. He missed free throw. They lost. Luka Doncic put up 46 points with Kawhi Leonard playing defense on him. And by the way, Kawhi was an absolute machine. And Luka didn't win for two reasons. Luka's team goes home after seven games in a series they were up 2-0 in. And, 3-2? For a simple reason. Two really reasons. One is Kawhi Leonard. Every bit as excellent in the postseason, only with the experience to close it out. And two is Kawhi has an actual team. And Luka Doncic did not. It is a reminder that no matter how remarkable and excellent you are, the difference between being Damian Lillard and Trae Young, between being Luka Doncic and Kawhi Leonard, is not just the experience. That'll come. All those guys have shown themselves to have the rarest skill in the NBA, and that is excellence in the postseason. I'm not going to say Paul George's nickname. You know it, I know it, we know what it was. He didn't deserve to be on that winning team, but deserves got nothing to do with it, Clint Eastwood. 5 of 15, and don't give me the double-double stat or the other things you can look at in the box score. Paul George wasn't very effective, and he missed some big shots when it mattered most. Lucky for Paul George and that Clippers team, the rest of that Mavericks team was an abomination. They were. They were awful. Think about this. If you're an NBA writer like I am or a fan, and you're trying to talk about multiple games in the regular season, but all the games are on at the same time, and you can't talk all of the games. You can't watch all of the games, excuse me. There are some cheat codes that you figure out. There are some ways to know what happened. Now, you'll text beat writers, and those that like you will write you back and tell you what happened. That's helpful. You can watch a post-game press conference if you have time. That'll give you some insight. Or you can look at the box score and sort of know what to look for. And one way, without seeing a game, and I did watch these games, but without seeing a game, to assess excellence, to see that a team dominated as it relates to passion and energy, to cheat code your way to saying on television or to your buddies, they just wanted it more and they were tougher, is to look at if a team dominates rebounds, dominates points in the paint, dominates second chance points. A lot of times in close games, those things are close and there's not really a distinction. But often when a team wins or wins handily, they dominate all three of those because they just wanted it more. Happened yesterday, it's just not for the team that won. The Mavericks were exceptional in almost every aspect of effort and passion. Those guys understood and knew they were being led by a transcendent talent they did not deserve. And at least they tried to bleed and sweat for the guy. The problem is they couldn't shoot or play defense, and those things actually kind of matter. The Los Angeles Clippers, and credit on the win, made 47% of their three-point shots, despite the fact that Paul George was 2 of 8 from the three-point line. Marcus Morris was 7 of 9, and by the way, was an absolute killer. What a level of depth. Every single Maverick, not named Luka, future two-time MVP Doncic, was 5 of 25. And that's the takeaway. We're in a pretty cool and pretty rare time in the NBA. There's not just two or three guys that are the perennial MVP favorites. This isn't the Jordan era where it was Jordan and everybody else. This isn't the Iverson era where Iverson was basically the only guy you could point to or you thought you could point to as the future of the game. Not even the Kobe, Duncan, LeBron era where one of those guys were going to win an NBA championship basically every year with an exception here or there. This is a time where Kawhi and LeBron, where Trae Young and Joel Embiid, where Donovan Mitchell and Damian Lillard and a host of other names are, and I haven't even mentioned the actual soon-to-be MVP, Nikola Jokic, who's still playing, by the way. There's so much excellence, there's so much greatness, that the kind of basketball non-basketball fans say they always want is upon us. And it's been upon us for a while, by the way. You have to play defense. The Mavs didn't do that. You have to be able to shoot the ball. And that means ball movement and good looks. Now, the Mavs did move the ball because Luka Doncic attracted so much attention. They just couldn't hit open shots. Tim Hardaway Jr., 1 of 9 from the three-point line. You got to have help. Damian Lillard doesn't suck because he went 1 of 6 at the end of the fourth quarter of an elimination game. Trae Young's not going to suck if he has a bad outing at some point in this Philly series and they lose, although I think Atlanta's going to win that series. Luka Doncic is not some failed superstar, some reckoning for the overrated, just because he missed a few free throws. That was Luka versus Kawhi. That's what we saw. That is exactly what happened. And literally, it was literally Luka Doncic versus Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi played incredible defense on Luka. And Luka was 17 of 30 and had 46 points. Now, the takeaway is Kawhi Leonard had some help and Dallas didn't. And give Mark Cuban credit. He got asked after the game whether or not he planned to make a change. I think it was Adrian Wojnarowski at the head coaching position. They haven't won a series, Dallas, the Mavericks. They won a playoff series since they beat the Heat at that NBA Finals I was at in 2011. 0-6. And Cuban's answer was half right and still beautiful that he got that much of it right in that difficult position. You don't make a change just to make a change unless you know who you want to hire. The grass is always greener. He's right. As it relates to the coach, I wish Woj had asked the same question about the general manager, because the reality is that is remarkable as the Luka Doncic for Trae Young trade was when it happened. And what it became is Luka Doncic to the Mavs and Trae Young and eventually Cam Reddish, who's been hurt. And I like Reddish, actually, in his upside, to the Hawks. Every day for the last, whatever it's been, 2 or 3 years that someone's asked me about that, I have friends who are fans of both teams. I've said, yeah, the Dallas won the trade. Last night, my wife was watching, actually all weekend watching games, and she was peppering me with questions about Luka Doncic. She didn't know who he was. She goes, that's a star. I'm like, oh yeah. He looks kind of pudgy. He's not pudgy. He looks slow. He's not slow. He doesn't look like he'd be very good. Well, he is good. And then I got this one. Do you think that's what you look like when you step out on the tennis court? No, because he's athletic. You're insulting me, but you're really insulting Luka. And she asked me how he got there, what the deal was, told her about the trade. She knew who Trae Young was. She asked who won that trade. And for the first time, I said, I don't know. Not because Trae Young is suddenly better than Luka Doncic, but because if Cam Reddish becomes some kind of a actual weapon for Trae Young in the years ahead, it's going to be significant. You need depth. And you know that Atlanta's front office is so much more better run because they've actually got help around the guy. John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, Clint Capella, Bogdanovich, Herter. These are the things that Dallas needs. You don't have to go get a Paul George. I wouldn't want Paul George on this team. Some egomaniacal, choke artist, inefficient, can't win the big game hanger-on. No. You've got to get role players around Doncic. You have to get guys that can hit shots. You have to get guys who are not afraid. Luka, Trae, still Kawhi, still LeBron, Anthony Davis, Donovan Mitchell, Damian Lillard, Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, not Julius Randle. I think we've dismissed that stupid notion. Jason Tatum. All of these guys and more have a chance to, Devin Booker, have a chance to be the future of the league. the guys who rise to the top in the next 10 years will be different than the guys that did in the last 10 because it'll be about teamwork and your front office and the weapons you have around you. It's why I think Denver's going to beat the Clippers. Excuse me, Utah's going to beat the Clippers. It's why I think Atlanta's going to beat Philly, and the injuries are significant. And it's why I'm not writing Milwaukee off. I'm just not. Chris Middleton played like Paul George in that game. That happens. But I still think Middleton can be great in a playoff series. And there's no James Harden. This NBA is wide open. And for the first time in a long time, the team I think with the most depth and the most health is going to win. We thought that was the Brooklyn Nets, but it's a question mark. It's exciting for the NBA. It's exciting for sports. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. We don't talk a lot of soccer normally on the show. But the U.S. men's national team in an inaugural cup against Mexico, a team that is superior by history and really, if not by talent now, at least by the experience that they have on their current roster. In a moment that was fraught with all the pressures that this team is going to have in the years ahead, the U.S. stood up in a big way. And you don't have to be a soccer fan to be a fan of this country. And it was a really cool moment for American sports, to say nothing of soccer. And we'll hit that on Rider Than You when we come back in a moment here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Rider Than You podcast.
Oh, welcome back into the show. Happy Monday. Bill Ryder with you. Thank you for hanging out. Look, I'm into soccer. I got into it in the last year. Watched a bunch of Barcelona. And I want to be into the U.S. men's national team. I'm supposed to be, right? Team America. Drop the A. Go America. But I wasn't sure the degree to which I was actually that committed. They played, what, Honduras in the semifinal of the Random Cup? We're going to call it the Random Cup here on the show. And the game was fine. It wasn't very riveting. But I know enough of the history to know that the United States and Mexico, in terms of their soccer teams, do not like each other. It's a remarkable rivalry. Mexico is a much, much better team by history, to say the least. And this is a young team that has a ton of upside. It's sort of like the potential. I should say this. There is the potential for this. I know you've heard this before, but this U.S. men's national team, this soccer team, this collection of talent, many of whom are playing in Europe, which is a big deal. It may end up being like Tiger Woods for those folks who just didn't care about golf or were sort of lukewarm on it. Or Conor McGregor for non-UFC fans. Tyson, if you're old enough for this, for those who weren't really into boxing. Or maybe whoever was fighting Floyd Mayweather Jr., for those of you a little bit younger. I'm not even going to bring up the Logan Paul silliness, because it's silliness. And yesterday, in an instant classic, the United States showed the thing, whatever your sort of sports fandom, that we can get behind in our athletes. And that was a grit and a determination and a toughness in the face of a great opponent and a ton of pressure. Mexico goes up. It felt like 10 seconds into the match. The U.S. eventually counters. Mexico goes up 2-1 in like the 79th minute, I think is what it was, 80th minute. And the United States, 3 minutes later, young Mr. McKennie counters with an incredible header. I don't even know soccer terminology. I think the near post. It was amazing. I was too busy screaming. My daughter, who likes soccer, just became a lifelong fan because it kept her up for an extra hour and a half. It's bedtime. U.S. team's on. All right, fine. I'm a bad father. Go get me a beer. I didn't say that part. I thought about it. And then the United States, Pulisic scores on a penalty kick in extra time. And then this overwrought, certainly overmatched referee gives Mexico a chance to equalize. They fail. The United States' goalie went out at a pretty critical point. I don't even know the guy's name. Horvath? Amazing. Had a couple nice saves. Saved a penalty kick. Tried to shield some of his teammates literally when glass was raining down from the stands from some of the fans. It was an amazing, amazing contest. I was watching this. It was late. I was like, oh, my God, I'm tired. I was on East Coast time. Trying to decide if any East Coasters were awake watching. And the only guy who's currently an East Coaster, because Tom DiBenedetto is here, but he's been put in timeout. Tom is in no-talkie timeout by the technology gods. Flew to L.A., No microphone, no internet, a lot of angst. And that leaves Andrew Bogish over here, who's in a little bit of his own angst. I did a little Skype call to Bogish earlier. Like, is everything okay? He texted us. Everything okay? I couldn't answer. Everything all right? No, man. The UFOs, the aliens attacked. This is me saying goodbye. Yeah, everything's fine. Push hello on your Skype.
Well, so 10 a.m. Eastern time is the first break I've had kind of in 4 hours. So I normally get up. It's brushing my teeth time. I was upstairs doing that. And I just heard the Skype thing going over and over and over again. And my phone and my watch are connected. So I was getting a thing that said Bill's calling and was on the fourth call. I thought there was some kind of issue like where you needed me to come running back to the computer. So I wanted to see what was going on. You guys scared me.
I guess the issue is that I somewhat selfishly prioritize getting my stuff set up so I can do my radio show over you brushing your teeth 4 hours after you first kissed your wife good morning. You know, I mean, that's
I've been awake for 6 hours by then, and there's been no kissing.
You know, a little good morning kiss?
No.
Love you?
No.
Give me a smoochie.
No, because
for the men's national team,
I'm awake. I'm down here, tethered to the desk. She's got kids getting ready for school.
The
there's no kiss. No.
Did you stay up and watch the soccer game?
I watched a little bit of it last night live, and then I finished it this morning.
I mean, that's late. How late? 1 a.m. I think it is probably when it finished for you guys, somewhere in there.
So first of all, they lied to us. They said it was a 9 a.m. start. It didn't start after 9:30 Eastern time. So, and then it was extra time, stoppage time. I mean, it definitely went past midnight.
Yeah, it was super, super late. It was amazing. It was an amazing. And for me, like, I know who Sergiño Dest is because he plays for Barcelona. I'm obviously familiar with some of the bigger names. But I don't know most of these guys. And I found myself utterly and totally sold on the idea that I'm all in emotionally when these guys start competing and qualifying. And I know this was the Random Cup. Do you know the actual name? Do you want to call it the Random Cup in your updates? Or are you going to refer to it?
It's called the Nations League, and it is completely fabricated for competition and TV deals and whatever.
I always like the first inaugural, the first annual. The history of this goes all the way back to 2021, the salad days. But it was, I mean, it was edgy. In Mexico, what a dirty team, man. That was physical. And the thing about it is teams are going to play dirty, especially in qualifying. It's going to be physical. And your ability to handle that and not to pull a Paul George, right? You know, and just waver. I know it doesn't work as well when the Clippers win, but I still like the joke. It was really, really cool. That's my soccer talk. That's what I got. It's my soccer talk. But it was, I don't know. There's something different about watching sports that you're invested in when it's your country. It just is. And I don't know to what degree I'm going to be watching the Olympics this summer if it's this bizarro universe where people don't want to be there in Japan and they are. Are you excited for the? I was gonna ask Tom, but he's not allowed to talk. Microphone's turned off on him. He's in microphone talkie timeout over here.
I guess Stu is in charge. So, I mean, yeah, I like the Olympics. I like rooting for Team USA. I like every 4 years caring about, you know, water polo, whatever it is. Like I'm down for that. But yeah, there is the oddity of like, should they be there? Do they want to be? Like somebody checked. I saw a tweet last week. Like, I think it was like Australia softball is the first team to be in Tokyo for the Olympics. Like, why are you going there early? Like, you're not supposed to be, like, it's a danger to be there for 3.5 weeks for the games. Why are you going there now? So yeah, I wish there wasn't this COVID veil over everything still.
I like that you went water polo. Little fun fact, I live in Manhattan Beach, California, and the head of the men's polo, water polo, you know, U.S. national team lives in Manhattan Beach, and apparently the high school water polo team is just a feeder to that program. That's what I got. Speaking of Manhattan Beach, you want to
hear a little
fun fact?
Everything happens by you.
It's all happening, man. The alien invasion's coming. It's gonna start. I actually watched Edge of Tomorrow. On the plane, I watched a couple of Tom Cruise. You should not watch this if you're afraid of aliens. I'm just telling you, have you seen this movie? Live, Die, Repeat?
I have not.
It's incredible. But it doesn't go well for the humanoids. The aliens do pretty well. I watched Jerry Maguire. I don't know why. I'm on the plane. I'm going to rewatch Jerry Maguire. Had no idea that, what's her name? Renee Zellweger?
Renee Zellweger.
Yeah. What I mean? Don't get surgery. Shannon Doherty has it right. You see this? She's like, I'm not going to get Botox. I'm not going to get surgery. I'm just going to look the way that I look as I age. Amen. I'm doing the same thing. 43 going on 80, and I'm proud of it. It takes place in Manhattan Beach. And the little house where all the scenes take place apparently is 3 blocks from where I live. I'm going to walk over to the Jerry Maguire house later. Incredible film. Have you seen it?
Jerry Maguire?
Well, I've started to
I've
doubt
seen Jerry Maguire.
I'm just checking.
No, that one I've seen. Okay. I'm not Stu. I've seen these movies.
It's popular. It was well-received. It was a cultural phenomenon. It's good. It just doesn't check your boxes.
It checks my box. I'm the one that likes Friends. You're the one that's a snob that didn't see Jerry Maguire.
You missed that because the microphone's not working here. I said it was good, though. So that was the...
Gotcha.
That was that one. Gotta check all
that's
of them.
The difference.
Gotta check all of them, Bogus. All right, any updates? Any updates before we get to the update? How was your weekend? Anything going on?
The weekend was good. Nothing going on. It's hot and humid already in New York, which is not good news, but otherwise we're okay.
I can't answer the Skype. I like that you went the Skype. I'm the one that's highfalutin. This is Bogus just texted message me 10 minutes ago. I can't answer the Skype at the moment. Is everything okay? I like how I got an at the moment and the Skype.
I'm really glad typing with my right finger and brushing my teeth with my left.
Is everything okay? No, it's not, because I'm calling you on Skype because this is the time that I have. So answer the damn Skype and then put it on mute and then go brush your teeth with your Crest and your pearly whites or whatever you're working on. It's unfair. Usually Tom does.
Now I know the protocols.
He has no internet. But the protocols are shot to hell. The Benedetto flies to L.A. so he can sit in the corner in shame. Good stuff.
Well, and the good news is I'm sure he's taking it nicely and calmly here, not worked up, not cursing, nothing like that.
I haven't even told him yet. He can't put buy or sell together. I haven't told him yet. He's doing it ad lib. Like, it's just going to be amazing. And if either of you think I'm joking, I'm not. All right. I'm very excited about the update. I want to watch it on the Skype. So I'm going to put my mute button on and watch you on the Skype do the update.
The update is sponsored by Credit Karma Money. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. None of us understood Ty Lue's reasoning for being confident after his Clippers dropped their first two games at home with the Mavs, but here are his clips in round two.
Well, those guys have been focused all series long. So, you know, you get down 0-2 on your home floor and then to go into a hostile environment in Dallas where their fans was out of control, and to come back and win 4-1, I mean, it just says a lot about our team.
Lue and company finally winning a home game yesterday, taking game 7 from those Mavs, 126-111, behind 28 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists from Kawhi. Now Lue gets them ready for game 1 in Utah tomorrow night. Game 1 for the Suns and Nuggets is tonight. It follows game 2 for the Nets and Bucks. No James Harden because of that right hamstring. The Falcons finally traded Julio Jones yesterday, getting a second round pick back from the Titans. The team's also swapping late round choices in 2023. Jones will the Titans make up for Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith leaving as free agents. The Montreal Canadiens were down 3-1 to the Leafs in the last round. They won that series, now lead the Jets 3-0 after last night's 5-1 home win. That's 6 wins in a row. They have not trailed in any of them. Vegas then beat Colorado 5-1 last night. That series is 2-2. Sunday on the diamond ended with extra innings at Yankee Stadium.
Sessa is ready. He throws. Bogarts drives one into left field toward the gap. No one gets it. Vasquez scores. Dahlbeck right behind him. 2-run hit for Bogarts, and the Red Sox lead it 6-4 in the 10th.
That's Will Fleming on Red Sox Radio. Boston held on for a 6-5 win and a 3-game sweep. Novak Djokovic lost the first two sets of his French Open fourth-round match to Lorenzo Musetti, but he has won the third and the fourth in about 7 minutes as they head now to that fifth and final set. Coco Gauff, a straight set win to reach her first Grand Slam quarterfinal, but Sloane Stephens lost. Rafael Nadal plays later on. And yes, once again, U.S. men's soccer winning a bonkers game with Mexico last night, 3-2 in Denver to win the first-ever Nations League title. The tie-breaking goal in the 114th minute from Christian Pulisic, then Ethan Horvath save the PK to preserve the win. Bill, back to you.
Bogus, that was awesome. I'm sorry I made fun of you for the Skype. I want to adopt it. I'm gonna do the Skype, and at some point we're gonna get the DiBenedetto. He's over here just freaking out, by the way. He's pushing buttons, he's punching buttons, he's so upset.
You should turn your camera on to him.
Oh, wait, here, do you want to see him? I will. All right, so let's do this. You brought up Julio Jones. Yeah, no one else can see that, though. It is, unfortunately, not a visual medium. Julio Jones of the Titans, why it's a wonderful move for everybody involved next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back into the show. It's very exciting. It's very exciting. We had Tom DiBenedetto in Talkie Talkie Timeout. Not really on purpose, but let's see if this works. Tom.
Good morning, Bill.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Look at that.
Oh, and I have internet now, too.
The sonorous harmony of your voice. All right, so you're hanging out for a couple of weeks in Southern California.
That's right.
We got to find a way to get you to live here, but we'll do that another day.
Working on it.
And rumor has it you made a pilgrimage, a sports pilgrimage yesterday. What happened?
Yes. So on Saturday, we had a big day. We had a lot to do on Saturday, but then we finished everything up by around 4 o'clock, and my fiance the entire day was mentioning that Jacob DeGrom was not far away. He was going to start in San Diego, kind of as a joke, but kind of like, can we go maybe? And we just kind of made the, yeah, let's do it. Got in the car, drove, barely made it for first pitch, and I got my first Petco Park experience. I got to watch the best probably player in baseball right now, certainly pitcher, dominate, I mean, on form. And I got to experience the Padres experience, which is more than a ballpark. I mean, the ballpark is 10 out of 10 stunning, the nicest, I think, professional sports venue I've ever been in my life. And I was expecting it to be great, and it still exceeded expectations. And then just the energy of this thing going on with the Padres right now. I mean, we've talked about it on the show. You can kind of pick it up watching on TV, but experiencing in person, it's very real. These people are absolutely head over heels for this team and these players. There was a hustle double by Tatis early in the game where he had a crazy slide into second. His helmet popped off, and he, like, flipped his hair up when he was done, called safe. And the place just lost their minds in such a cool way. I mean, this dude is a rock star. But the whole team, I mean, even Musgrove was the starter. Musgrove is now a local hero, has endeared himself. He got multiple huge ovations, even though he didn't play that well. So it was a wonderful night in San Diego.
I was trying to think when I realized you sent me the photo, and I had just landed from New York, and I thought it was Dodgers. And then I looked the next day and realized, oh, that's San Diego. What places are that fully focused on one professional team with that kind of passion? And certainly Green Bay, Wisconsin. And the Packers comes to mind. The Thunder,
yeah,
certainly when they were more competitive than they are now. I mean, those guys had Durant, Harden, and Kyrie, which is obviously incredible. And that's kind of where, I guess, Nashville with the Titans, maybe. I think that's an example.
That's a good one, too. I didn't even think about that, but that is a good one. I guess they also have the Predators. They like the Predators, too. But one team focus, the Blazers, kind of.
Well, that's a good, yeah.
But it's not even close. It doesn't feel, not nothing against, but we love Portland.
I don't know, Motor Center,
yeah.
It gets going.
Yeah, it does. I guess there's more belief, and it's also harsh to say, but there's more belief right now that in Padres fans that they're actually going to go way to the end of this thing. They're going to win one.
I think they
all think so.
All right, so I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to. So there was a story that came out, I believe, in SI over the weekend that makes a pretty compelling case that we're in the new steroids era, but this is time with pitchers. Mm. And it gets into the math of how ridiculous, how remarkable the spin rates are. And that really sort of dives into like 101 mile per hour cutters with 6,100 RPMs. It shouldn't be physically possible. And I hate to do this to Jacob DeGrom because he's been amazing. But if it were the steroids era and a guy were on track to hit 60 home runs, it's something in retrospect people should have brought up. We're in an era now where there's a lot of, I think, evidence to suggest that some pitchers are using substances, sticky, to basically do things to the baseball that make them almost unhittable. And he literally has the best earned run average through however many games he's pitched since they started keeping track of ERA in 1913, I believe, is the year. How dominant did he look in person, and do you believe that it's real?
Outrageously dominant, and I believe this was his best velocity night of the season so far. I think he had like 33 pitches at 100 miles an hour or more,
yeah,
and
amazing.
You're just watching. I mean, it's mind-blowing. My rule of thumb during the steroid era was, and certainly since, was if it's too good to be true, it is. Don't, you know,
yeah.
Be suspicious, and that's what's happening. I agree with DeGrom. This is too good to be true. So I think he is part of the grippy revolution that's happening. He's far from the only. I mean, the NL Cy Young from last year, who is now the highest paid player in baseball, without naming any names, is certainly part of it too. There's a whole thing happening. And I don't necessarily doubt that he is, but he is by far. It's kind of like the Bonds thing. Like Bonds was probably the best hitter in baseball anyway, and then juicing made him, you know, kept that gap up while everyone else was juicing. Maybe it's something like that happening. But he threw, he was throwing so hard. I've never seen anything like it with my own eyes in my whole life. The whole game, throwing 100 miles, 101. And then it's also, as you just mentioned, it's the 92, 93 mile an hour sliders too. That just, they don't look right. It doesn't, it's bizarre how the velocity on a slider, and you know, I mean, to the hitters too, they look stupid trying to hit these DeGrom sliders.
By the way, how do you like the whole LA thing? Not bad, right?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
We got to get you out of here.
The weather, I mean, it's so like cliche. I keep making fun of myself because I keep marveling at the weather, because like obviously the weather in Southern California is great, but it's stunning right now because it's like 68 degrees every day, but then you get that hot sun, there's no humidity, it's cool, but you get the nice warm sun, it's perfect.
To be fair, what you described is known as Tuesday and Wednesday and Monday and Thursday and every other,
it's cloudy for like 90 minutes in the morning.
Then once you get
past that, it's absolutely perfect.
The marine layer where people wear winter, have you seen this?
Parkas,
the winter coat, the parkas.
Yeah,
it's 61 degrees, you don't need a parka.
Yep.
In Iowa when it's 52, we wore shorts and called it summertime. All right, it's good to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
We'll circle back with some men's national team talk later.
Gracias.
It's kind of weird having you cut off from the universe.
It was weird being cut off.
Producer underscore Tom. All right, so very, very quickly, the Julio Jones trade is a tad bit eyebrow raising for just the remarkably low cost that the Titans gave away. We knew this was coming. Julio Jones went on a television show, maybe not with his actual advanced knowledge, where guys yell at each other for a living. Not the one you're thinking of, the other one. With the guy that apparently Charles Barkley threatened on TNT the other night and said he was going to go somewhere else, he wanted out. And there were five or six places that made sense. And I love the Titans as a destination. The thing that is surprising to me, I don't think it's a mistake by either team. The Falcons are moving on, and Julio had announced to the world he wanted to be gone. And his cap hit, the amount of salary is problematic in the extreme, to the point where the Falcons literally couldn't sign their draft class. And beyond that, it's just time to move on and to rebuild. He didn't want to be there, so you move on from him. But the return is so minimal compared to what it feels like a player of his caliber, if he can remain healthy, should command. Second round pick and a fourth round pick go to Atlanta in exchange for Julio Jones and a sixth round pick. That is not an overwhelming return on your investment. And I love it for the Titans. They lost a couple receivers, critical receivers. They have a team that has an actual window. And if you looked at Vegas's response, the odds improved pretty quickly. I think 35-1 was the likelihood they could win the AFC, and it went to 30-1. They were slight dogs to win their division. They're now tied with, I think it is the Colts. I mean, it's a really nice addition. But the story for me is the lack of return for the Titans, or excuse me, for the Falcons. And we talked about this when it happened, but this should be the story now. When a guy goes on television and announces that he's going to leave and says that he's not going to be a Dallas Cowboy, when he drives the price down, and then the price comes in so much lower than any of us thought was reasonable or fair market value, there should be some consequences for that. Look, I'm a huge Mike Vrabel fan, and I've been beating that drum for a long time now. And I like the opportunity for Tennessee to have this kind of a weapon mixed in with a serviceable quarterback in Tannehill, and maybe, probably certainly the most effective and important running back in the National Football League. To say nothing of the fact the Titans have a defense and a defensive-minded head coach that is really, really impressive. Remember, this Titans team was up on the Chiefs in a big way a couple years ago before the Chiefs rattled off that comeback and really recalibrated their position and their place in the National Football League. I like the Julio Jones addition. Now, they're going to have to make some adjustments here to get under the cap. They'll either have to cut players. They're saying that they would like, the GM has said, they hope that they can restructure the contract. That seems likely. You would think there'd be back channel conversations with Julio's agent before they made this decision. But the fact of the matter is that this is a bold move for a team going for it, so it makes sense for the Titans, and it's the right move for an organization, the Falcons, that are rebuilding. It's just incredibly unfair that Atlanta did not get what they should have in return for a guy who, if he plays every game, is going to be a superstar. That's what he is. Even at his age, he is still a top-tier wide receiver at a time when the passing game is everything for a team that might be one piece away from making that huge leap. And I saw some of this morning. I don't want to hear any of this, one receiver can't make a difference. Yeah, tell that to the Buffalo Bills. There's a lot of reasons the Bills were really good last year. There's a lot of reasons that Josh Allen continued to progress. The culture they'd built, defensive-minded, was an actual contender. And Stephon Diggs was a big part of it. What you do in the National Football League, if you can, is you build a, you find the right head coach, and this is the Titans and Buffalo, right? You find the right head coach. You build the right culture, in this case, defensively inclined. You either draft or, in someone else's organization, you identify the quarterback that you think can be the focal point for your offense. You build a efficient, and in the Titans' case, excellent running game, and you put the pieces together as best you can. And then in both these situations, last year it worked, this year it will work, you add a remarkable weapon and threat at wide receiver, and you go through the roof. One wide receiver can make all the addition. It doesn't matter if you add some dude to a team. Odell Beckham Jr. is not going to make that big of a difference immediately if he goes to a team that's not ready. He's just not, right? They got there, but it wasn't from jump street. You could send Julio Jones or any other receiver in the National Football League of that same level of excellence to the Chicago Bears, and they're still going to be the Chicago Bears. And that, this is why it's such an incredible fit for the Titans. It's not a desperation play. It's not a, oh my God, we need to do something. It's not a, we're not really sure about our quarterback or our offense. Maybe this will help. They looked around. They saw that he is probably paid more money than he is worth, especially with the way the cap reality works in the National Football League. They understood that it was going to be difficult to pay him what they need to pay him. And they realized that this is the missing piece and the missing ingredient. It's a lot like Buffalo. And I love it. Absolutely love it for the Titans. Not a Chiefs fan, and I've said this on the air before. My kids were born there, spent a decade living there, wrote for the Kansas City Star. When I wrote for the Kansas City Star, I spent a lot of time around that Chiefs organization, wrote a bunch of stuff about Clark Hunt and some of the folks there. My good friend Trez Paler, who passed away this year, called Patrick Mahomes well in advance of his excellence. I feel emotionally invested in the Chiefs, but I want to see the NFL be interesting, and I want to see the AFC be a murderer's row of teams. And the Titans, who I already respected, I already feared, I already thought were really, really good, have just gone to another level. And the only thing about this that I hate, that's unfair, I know life isn't fair, is the fact that it was a second and a fourth round pick. Not really even that much. I mean, because a sixth round pick comes back as part of the deal. So good for the Titans, but really, really unfortunate, I think, that it wasn't done the way that it should have been done. I don't even know who you blame. Do you blame my former employer over there at FS1? Do you blame the guy, the former football player who's a Hall of Famer who did it? Do you blame Julio for being part of it or not knowing better? I don't have a good answer, but I know whose fault it's not. It's not the Atlanta Falcons. They didn't set it up. They didn't announce this is what we want to do. And they're not Robert Manfred. Let's lower the value on one of our most important products. That'll work. All right, congratulations, Tennessee. Let's preview tonight's games and talk a little Milwaukee Nets. I still think the Bucks can win this thing. Why, that series is far from over next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning and happy Monday. Bill Ryder with you. Great to be back in Los Angeles. Man, I love New York. I love LA. I love both. They're so different. They're different universes. And I bumped into a buddy of mine, sort of, neighbor, I should say, and said this, and they looked at me like I'm a crazy person. And when I'm in New York and I bump into people and I say how much I love LA, they look at me like I've, you know, spit in their coffee and asked them to drink it. And I wonder if maybe it's because of where I'm from. From the Midwest, I was born in Iowa. I went to high school in the Chicago suburbs and then Iowa. My kids were born in Missouri. I love the middle part of the country. I lived in Little Rock, Arkansas for 2 years. And what I realized in living in Dubuque, Iowa, and Des Moines, Iowa, and Naperville, Illinois, and Columbia, Missouri, and Little Rock, Arkansas, is all of these places are amazing. They're amazing. It's an incredible country, and you can love anywhere that you're at. You really can. And I see LA and New York with similar eyes, where I'm not trying to have them compete against each other or show why they suck because the other's better, or they suck because where I'm from is amazing. It's all great. And you can find amazing things everywhere. No disrespect to where I'm from, because I love where I'm from. But if you can realize how amazing Little Rock is and Kansas City is and how great Des Moines and Dubuque are, I promise you, you can find pretty cool stuff to do in LA and New York. It's really nice to be back on the West Coast. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios, I should tell you. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We'll get into some DeGrom in a little bit. And I feel bad. I feel bad that I startled Andrew Bogish by daring to call him on Skype a couple times. So I'm going to bring some good, I've got some good news for him about the Knicks. And by the way, was in New York last week in part because the Knicks had that series against Atlanta. And like all of us, right, I take a lot more pleasure in the stuff that I get right than the stuff that I get wrong. I enjoy that more. And I felt pretty confident. I felt pretty sure that Atlanta was going to win that series. And they did. And I talked a lot about the reasons why. But the Knicks still, I think, heading in a really cool and impressive direction. I've got some good news. I've got some good news for the Knicks fans and that are out there. And we'll hit you with that later in the program. I'll probably give you my perspective on Jacob DeGrom and baseball, where it's at. And we're going to do some audible version of Buy or Sell. It could be different. I'm excited by it. Tom DiBenedetto, the executive producer who's sitting across from me in studio, is excited. Is it weird being across from me?
A little bit, yeah. Also just close. Like, even when you're in New York and I'm on the board and I'm across from you, I'm like 12 feet away. This is very much face-to-face.
You got a lot of Bill Ryder in your life right now.
A lot, yeah.
It's all happening.
As much as I can handle.
I know. All right, let's turn your microphone off of that little joke. It's nice to control your microphone. You're in talkie-talkie timeout. Phone number 855-212-4CBS. So I'm gonna keep beating this drum. I've been telling you on the show it's probably been 6 weeks, and I bring it up all the time, that I was told by sources, one GM in particular, but then vetted this, that there was an unprecedented level of injuries that were lying in wait in the NBA playoffs. And I think the reason it struck me as really important to talk to you about in advance of the postseason was because the guy that I was talking to, I take very seriously. It's like anything else, right? Not every CEO, not every baseball player, not every boss, not every radio host, not every writer, not every presidential candidate is worthy of your time or respect. It is not to be taken seriously, despite sort of the place they've gotten to in their career. That's true for general managers, too. This guy's one of the real ones, one of the legit ones, just as it relates to knowing what they're talking about. And the other thing is, even GMs who don't know what they're doing or aren't as impressive as some of their colleagues rarely exaggerate. GMs don't tend to say hot, takey things. And so when somebody told me at this level of influence in the game that there were going to be serious injuries in the postseason, I believed him. And we've seen it almost every step of the way. The Lakers lost because Anthony Davis was less healthy than Chris Paul, and Chris Paul wasn't particularly healthy. The Denver Nuggets are vulnerable, and we'll see what they do in this series against the Suns. They're big dogs. They're big dogs in this opening game because Jamal Murray's out. Michael Porter Jr., maybe he will, maybe he won't step in. We're certainly going to find out. We're certainly going to see. And by the way, Will Barton also missed some time. I mean, I can go down the whole injury list. It seemed inevitable that in Milwaukee, Brooklyn, that there was going to be an injury because these were really the two healthy teams that remained. Utah is healthy to a degree, although Donovan Mitchell has come off that injury. And certainly the Clippers are healthy. And by the way, it's not a coincidence. The teams that are the healthiest are the ones that are advancing. And then, of course, what I thought would happen happened. And I don't wish this on the Brooklyn Nets, and I know that I have been a doubter of the Nets, although my doubts are starting to become a little less concrete. And I do think the winner of this series between Brooklyn and Milwaukee is going to make the Eastern Conference Finals. I think Atlanta's probably going to beat Philly, another injury situation. I know Embiid looked great. I get it. But I'm not guessing that he has a meniscus tear, right? I'm not sort of thinking maybe he's playing through an injury that is problematic for everyone, and he has a history of injury. I'm worried about the guy. I respect that he wants to toughen out. Maybe they'll win the series. But the fact is that Embiid played amazing in game one, and Trae Young and the Hawks still beat him. And by the way, beat back that comeback, which they did against the Knicks too. That's not easy when that pressure starts to mount, when you feel the world getting away from you. Winner of Nets Bucks is probably going to advance. And I thought somebody would get hurt in that Brooklyn series. Don't want it. Don't root for it. Not hoping for it. Just the words of this GM ringing in my brain. And I thought it would be Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving. Even though Harden was hurt this year, he tends to be healthy. And then the beard came up lame. He has that hamstring. He's going to miss game two. It did not look great. And it's not fair. It's unfortunate. It's brutal. It's obviously an opening for the Milwaukee Bucks. And people started to write off the Bucks after that first game. And here's my thing. If you can punch, really punch the Nets in the nose, metaphorically speaking, if you can make them feel off balance, if you can rattle them a little bit, if you can make them feel your presence and the pressure that comes with it, which no one's done yet, I don't know how they're going to respond, but it's not a guarantee that they're going to respond the way they need to beat the kind of opponent that can do that to them. Milwaukee just has to win one of these first two games, and the entire series can feel different. The entire series can be different. And I'm not even going to write them off if they lose this game tonight. The Mavericks won the first two games in LA against the Clippers and lost that series. It's a weird upside-down year. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are really good and really impressive. And Blake Griffin played exceptionally well in that game. This is a deep team that certainly believe in themselves, and having seen it with my own eyes in Brooklyn, they like each other, and they believe in each other, and that matters. But the Milwaukee Bucks are the same team I've told you they are the entire way through. If Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday play great, they are a championship-caliber team. And if they play like garbage, or they fade, or they can't handle the pressure, then Milwaukee's the same team that's lost in the last couple postseason runs before they were supposed to. And the fact is that Chris Middleton was awful in that first game. Look, Giannis is going to be Giannis. And if other guys can hit shots, Giannis is going to have the space to do the things that he needs to do. I mean, Giannis in that loss was 16 of 24. The dude hit 2 of 5 three-point shots. 34 and 11 is pretty freaking good. Giannis has two MVPs, and so we hold him in higher esteem. And we keep saying what a failure he is and how he can't get it done. I mean, I've heard people make the argument against Milwaukee, not against Milwaukee, but against Giannis. I don't understand it. Where's the slander similarly conceived toward Damian Lillard? Where's the slander toward Luka Doncic? I mean, being an exceptional player, and we talked about this an hour ago, is no longer enough in the NBA. You have to either have other stars around you or be part of a great team with a bunch of depth. And Trae Young's an interesting example of this. I don't think there's a superstar currently on that team with Trae Young. I think there's a bunch of guys that will be superstars, potentially. I personally am really high on John Collins and DeAndre Hunter. Although Hunter didn't play in that Knicks closeout game. But I think John Collins is going to be awesome. Herter's a great role player because he can hit shots. Bogdanovich, who hit a huge three and then iced two free throws, he's not a star, but he's got some metal. If Atlanta loses to a better Philly team, it's not going to be because Trae Young's bad at basketball and can't do it. I think we've established that's not true. Damian Lillard didn't play well in the fourth quarter of his final game against the Nuggets. And you know what? It's not because he sucks at basketball or in the playoffs. And the same is true for Giannis. Giannis did everything he's supposed to do. He just needs some help. He just needs some help. Chris Middleton going 6 for 23. That dude had 13 points on 23 shots. That's it. That's the game. That's the story. He was 0 for 5. Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton combined to go 2 for 12 from the three-point line. Just like every single Maverick not named Luka went 5 for 25 yesterday. You have to have help. You have to do better. If you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you cannot hit 6 of 30 three-point shots. Also known as 4 of 25 if you're not named Giannis. Think about that. The Mavericks lost their game because all the players that aren't their star player shot 25% from the three-point line. Same for the Bucks. The difference is the Mavs did it in a closeout game where there's no second chances, where you don't get to look each other in the eye in the locker room and say, we can do this, calm down, I got you, let's go. where you can look yourself in the mirror and say, burn the boats and stop being a coward when you go out there and shoot the rock. I'm not saying it's easy. There's a lot of games left to go for Milwaukee. And I just don't believe they're going to shoot 20% from the three-point line in the rest of the series. I don't think they're going to make just 58% of their free throws. I don't think Chris Middleton's going to utterly and totally disappear. The Milwaukee Bucks are good enough to win an NBA championship this year. And that doesn't change because Chris Middleton had one atrocious game. And not just Middleton. PJ Tucker is bad. Forbes was bad. Really, everybody but Brooke Lopez was terrible in trying to support a great game from Giannis Antetokounmpo. They were. Well, let's just slow down the series is over talk. The Nets just lost James Harden. How they respond to that is going to be just as important as how Milwaukee responds to a really terrible game. And I probably shouldn't be writing off Philly and Atlanta. I just am. And I believe in both teams. I have a lot of skepticism that Joel Embiid can make it through what's going to be, I think, a bruising series against Atlanta. And obviously, they got to go at least five, and they're going to be more. It'll be more. I think Atlanta wins. But even if Embiid stays healthy, it's really a stretch for me. I'm an optimist by nature, but I have trouble getting my mind around Joel Embiid, often hurt, somewhat fragile, remarkably talented, with a meniscus tear, is going to stay healthy for this series and then some showdown against Giannis and the Bucks or Kevin Durant and the Nets. I just don't buy it. And maybe if it's Atlanta who advances, which is what I think is going to happen, but I don't know, maybe I should give Trae Young and the Hawks more credit. Maybe I should believe that they can just keep it rolling. And I think they can. I just don't think they will. I think Brooklyn and Milwaukee are that good and that much better than everybody else. And that's another reason I'm not going to freak out about the Bucks. They lost to the other team. That's the top tier in the Eastern Conference. This is it. This is the battle for the East. Embiid's hurt. The Hawks, I think, are just too inexperienced. As great as they've been, the winner of Milwaukee-Brooklyn is going to advance and maybe win an NBA championship. Maybe. The Clippers, I still think the Clippers are a ticking time bomb of Paul George-isms and letdowns. And that Mavericks team isn't very good. It's just Luke is. And they needed seven games, and the Clippers only won a single game at home. All of that, I think Utah's going to win that series. But come what may, right now, two of the three best teams in terms of how they're playing, the Suns are the other one, in the NBA, are Milwaukee and Brooklyn. And nothing that happened in game one, and frankly, nothing that happens tonight is going to change my mind on that. This is going to be a 6 or 7 game series. It's going to be a battle, and I cannot wait to see it. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. I sometimes give Andrew Bogut a hard time because Tom DiBenedetto tells me to, whose microphone is off and who can't defend his own honor right now. Actually, yeah, again, let's just let the cat out of the bag. You tell me, Tom, go after Bogut. Get him.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, just you say be mean.
Yeah, I was about to say be as vicious as possible is usually what follows.
I've held back in what you've instructed.
Like you can get him to cry if you push hard enough, so try to do that.
You want me to do to him what Charles Barkley wants to do to the guy who yells on the
exactly.
other TV channel.
Something like that.
Body bag or something, right?
Well, that's a little extreme.
It was a little aggressive.
Full body cast.
Was that what Chuck said?
I think so. Body bag is... Yeah,
was it body cast? Either way, it's sort of a hint at physical body. People don't like that guy. People don't like that guy.
Bogus, are we talking about?
Yeah. People don't like... Well, John Smoltz doesn't. I'm going to go a different direction.
The feeling is mutual there.
Yeah, Smoltz hates him. I'm going to bring... And by the way, I'm on Team Smoltz on this one. I'm going to... Because I can't... I love Bogus, but you can't choose anyone over John Smoltz. He's an American icon, isn't he?
Yeah.
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 And a great guy, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. And an amazing golfer, too.
Scratch golfer. All right. Yeah. I'm gonna do a 180. Andrew Bogut on updates deserves some hope. He deserves some belief. I don't even remember if he's a Knicks or a Nets fan, but I'm going to pretend he's a Knicks fan and give him some next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back into the show. We're going to work on changing Andrew Bogut's contract. We'll get to that here in a little bit. Ooh, little Kings! This job by Pete Bellotti back in New York City. On Saturday on CBS, a brand new racing series pulls into primetime with some of the best drivers in the world from all different disciplines, including Tony Stewart and 2021 Indy 500 winner Helio Castroneves. I can't even say that name. I don't watch racing at all. But I should, and you should too. Compete against each other using identical cars to prove they're the best on the track. Welcome to Superstar Saturday Night, the premiere of the SRX series, Saturday night at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on CBS. Phone number 855-2124-CBS. I was going to give Andrew Bogus some really good news. I was excited about it. I was going to give him good news. And then I was reminded that he's one of these pretend Nets fans. Been probably rooting for the Knicks forever, but now he's a Nets fan. How are you a Nets fan, Bogus? What's the history of that? I was going to give you some good Knicks news, but it doesn't matter to you.
No. It began with me being a Bulls Jordan fan in the 90s, not liking the Knicks. So that was the first problem. And then I loved Kenny Anderson, Derek Coleman, and Drazen Petrovic. So here we are now as a Net fan, fast forward to 2021. And it is a very distant Net fandom. It's legit Mets, legit Rangers, legit Giants. And then I'm a Nets fan.
It's looking pretty. It's a great time to be a Nets fan.
It appears to be at the moment, yes. Although, again, I feel a little half-hearted in my Nets fandom here.
It's hard to root for those guys to be. But I would if they were. Well, I don't really have a basketball team because I cover it. All right. Well, here's the news that I have for you. That is not. I guess it's good news for you, Tom. Do you want some good news?
Please.
All right. You told me
it's been a rough morning. So
you told me to be mean to Bogus, but then I tried to be nice. But then Bogus told me that he only talks to me because he's contractually required. To which I said, let's
change. Really turn the tables on that one.
Can we change the contract? No, you guys have to talk to each other a little. Tired of Bogus complaining. All right. If Damian Lillard is traded, then Knicks are the favorite to get him, according to Vegas odds that just came out, plus 250. Followed by the Clippers at plus 275, the Heat at plus 300, the Lakers at plus 350, the Sixers at plus 400, and the Celtics at plus 450. So the Knicks would be the favorite. I just don't know what they're giving away.
That was going to be my follow-up question. What exactly are they giving up
Everything.
To get that done? Three first-round picks?
And Barrett.
Plus Barrett.
Plus Toppin.
Yeah.
Plus maybe Quigley. I don't know, man. That's a lot. Bradley Beal. If he's traded, Warriors plus 275, which is fascinating. Knicks plus 300, Celtics plus 325, Raptors plus 350, Heat 4-1, Nuggets plus 450, and the Mavericks at plus 550, which would be amazing. And there's a line on Porzingis being traded since he looked like a broken shell of himself, which was such a bummer. Boston 2-1, Warriors plus 225, the Thunder plus 300, Magic 4-1, Wizards 5-1, Chicago Bulls 6-1. So, if the Knicks were, I will say this, and I feel like I'm a pretty rational evaluator of the New York Knicks. I don't think they're terrible. I don't think Julius Randle is Michael Jordan like some other people do. I don't think the Knicks were the favorites to make the NBA Finals. By the way, I used to find it obnoxious, this, what did a friend of mine call it when I was in New York? It was Howard Beck. Howard Beck and I had a drink on Friday, and he called it annoying New York City exceptionalism, which is exactly what it is. But I also find it kind of endearing and cute. Because, like, New Yorkers do operate as if they're a part of the smallest market in the world. Like, they conduct themselves with less self-respect than Thunder fans or Packers fans. They really do. It's actually sort of endearing. And I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be insulting. It's endearing how seriously and earnest they are about their teams. Like, I respect it. You add Damian Lillard to that Knicks team, despite what you have to trade away, as long as the culture and the defense remains the same, That is a conference finals contender or better. And if you add Bradley Beal to that team, it's the exact, that's what you need. That's just that you need a star player who can get buckets in the postseason.
Yeah, I'm not sure, short of LeBron James, I'm not sure that there's or maybe Steph Curry, that there's a better pair of players that fit with the Knicks than those two. They're just
those guys.
Perfect fits. Beal really is just the pure scoring they need, but
Beal's
Lillard gives the edge.
Yeah.
That leading edge, and he has, Lillard clearly has something left to prove in his career, too. And just the buzz around this team, they're both perfect.
Now, the other thing you could trade is Julius Randle. I don't think Randle's
that
valuable,
too.
Actually. Exactly. I think.
But maybe to the Blazers.
He just needed shots, right? Like, he went to a place who was going to let him shoot all the time, and that didn't run a particularly efficient offense. And he was like, get your buckets. What did I just see the other day? Oh, it was the guy who got drafted by the Wizards who did the crazy YouTube shows that I sent you guys. Just the crazy takedowns. I'm totally bogus. Remember this guy's name?
Kwame Brown?
Kwame Brown. Kwame Brown made an amazing... He's like, I can't do the exact quote because you'd have to... People would have to bleep like every other word. But the gist of it was you can give any guy 25 shots a game and he's going to score at least 16 points a game and get paid. Julius Randle comes to mind. Kwame, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I forgot you. Please don't lash out at me.
Yeah, yikes.
Please do not lash out at me. So that's what I got for you, Bogus. That was my hope. I'll give this to you. I think Jacob DeGrom potentially could be the Barry Bonds of this season. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that pitchers are using substances and sticky to a degree that they're doing things with baseballs that are not possible without enhancements, which I believe it's Sports Illustrated who made the argument. This is the modern day steroids era, and it is a basement of the game. And if that's true, you have to look at anyone who's doing things that are historically impossible. And literally, quite literally, DeGrom has the greatest earned run average to the number of games that he's pitched in the history of baseball. Would you like to jump on the DeGrom's a cheater bandwagon?
No, but I will jump on the what's going on with Trevor Bauer and Gerrit Cole bandwagon.
I literally just
clicked on a link about how their spin rate has taken a nosedive in their last start or two as the heat has been ratcheted up on guys who are breaking the rules. So I'm hoping that there is not a follow-up article with DeGrom's decreased spin rate coming soon or a drop in this MPH, which now sits over 100 almost consistently. But yeah, I mean, you'd be an idiot. As impressive as Jake is and as good as he's been for so long, for him to be even better this year, unfortunately, I think you're kind of all guilty by association until you're somehow proven innocent. So he's not yet as far down the road as other guys are, but, I mean, you wouldn't be shocked by anything about anybody these days.
Yeah, I understand I understand the temptation. And I understand, as Tom pointed out, that one of the guys that has been not proven, but there is suspicion around Trevor Bauer, who, by the way, I'm rooting for aggressively because he's on my fantasy baseball team and he's a Dodger, and I live in L.A. But that guy, whatever he did, discovered how to use his index finger to spin the ball, whatever's going on, got paid. There's real money attached. I mean, I don't know. Like, if I could, like, inject some steroid into my arm, and I suddenly became funny and entertaining and made $30 million next year because of that drastic change, I'd like to say that I wouldn't do that. That's a lot of money. Bogus, if you could put a steroid in your arm and not have to work with me and make a bunch of money, how quickly would that occur? Quicker than you brush your teeth?
Well, why are we including me and you in this?
Well, I just feel like there's been a lot of shade thrown to me today from you. A lot of bogus shade.
Because I didn't answer your back-to-back-to-back, the Skypes? You made me nervous.
I'm just telling you. I'm just feeling a lot of it.
I actually feel like, I thought I was showing my commitment and my respect and my regard for you by checking on everyone's well-being because they were coming so fast.
I only talk to you because I'm contractually obligated might have been the turning point to this dark place we find ourselves in.
Well, that was in response to you saying... Now you want to talk to me. So, again,
I was talking to Tom.
I feel like the first elbow didn't come from me.
Oh, I was talking to Tom when you were answering.
Oh, my apologies.
Would never.
You're looking right at me, so I thought that was to me. I'm sorry.
You take a break and brush your teeth. I can do the update. I got you covered. Why are you brushing your teeth 5 hours into your day, though? That's a real question.
Well, I mean, do you brush your teeth the second that you're awake?
I would say that it's closer to the second I'm awake than 5 hours. I mean, 5 hours in, I'll be home before 5 hours. I mean, I just feel
right,
like
it's
a lot of.
But I'm not.
Is it because you have a mask now, so it doesn't matter? Like nobody. That is one thing about the pandemic. You got bad breath. Like no one can tell.
True. But that is not my thinking here.
Did you see that? Steve, the underwater Aqua King, started a Twitter account. The person we have dubbed as the potential, you know, catalyst of and leader of those who are flying these UAPs, these UFOs everywhere. Are you familiar with this? Have you seen that Steve reached out from the depths?
I am not. I did not know that happened.
Here's his one tweet from well below the ocean at SportsWriter. This is a redundant gloss ye have given me, but I like it. See you soon for my Tic Tac in the sky.
Just to let us know that he's watching.
Steve underscore Aqua. Steve the underwater Aqua King.
And he used the term gloss, huh? So is that a clone? That sounds like that's Jim Rome vocab.
I mean, he's a fan of CBS Sports Radio. Just clearly. Because he lives 20 million leagues under the sea doesn't... By the way, the human brain is conceived of everything that seemed improbable and possible but was true in advance of its understanding. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was this highfalutin Disney film about... Or really, it was a book. About a machine that goes underwater. Everyone's like, that's so dumb. You know what happened? Submarines happened, Bogus. Hence, Steve the Underwater Aqua King exists. And you're going to have to just deal with it.
There's an underwater alien Atlantis, and they get CBS Sports Radio.
They do.
That's all we know.
They're talking about us. Look, yeah. If you're listening, underwater alien civilization, and you want to take someone to experiment on, Andrew Bogus volunteers. Bogus, what we got? They're listening.
After running away from the Knicks, the Hawks sprinted to a 26-point lead in Game 1 in Philly yesterday afternoon. They only won 128-124, but who cares about that? Trae Young says Nate McMillan has him rolling.
Nate, you've done a great job of putting confidence in everybody and continuing to tell people to attack and be aggressive, and that's just what guys are doing. We're out here playing for each other, playing and having fun, and everybody's locked in, and it's been great.
The series continues tomorrow night. Game 2 for the Nets and Bucks, 7:30 Eastern this evening. Brooklyn going for a 2-0 lead without the injured James Harden. Then tonight, the opener for the Suns and Nuggets somewhere after 10 Eastern. Jason Kidd withdrew his name from consideration for the Blazers job yesterday. He apparently thought the situation was too awkward after Damian Lillard said he wanted Kidd to get the job. The Falcons are trading Julio Jones to the Titans for a second-round pick. Jones still needs to pass a physical, and Tennessee has to restructure some contracts to make salary cap space for him. And former Broncos tackle Juwan James has filed a $15 million grievance against the team. Denver cut James, doesn't want to pay him following a torn Achilles while working out off-site, but James argues team headquarters was not up to COVID guidelines and he was working out with teammates off-site with club authorization. Playoff hockey last night, 5-1 wins for the Canadiens over the Jets and the Golden Knights over the Avalanche. Montreal now leads 3-0. That other series is 2-2. The Red Sox erased an early 3-1 hole, blew a late 4-3 lead, then won at Yankee Stadium 6-5-10. They get their first 3-game sweep in the Bronx in a decade. They are a season-high 13 games over .500. Novak Djokovic dropped the first two sets to Lorenzo Musetti in their fourth-round match at the French Open today. Djokovic then lost just one more game, winning when Musetti retired with an injury, down 4-love in the fifth set. A straight set win for Coco Gauff, a loss for Sloane Stephens, and fourth-seeded Sofia Kenin. Meanwhile, Naomi Osaka has now withdrawn from the grass court event in Berlin following her personal exit from Paris. Let's go to Denver. 114th minute, Christian Pulisic with a PK for the U.S.
Pulisic! Buries it in the upper 90! In a match in which the U.S. have shown so much character, it's their first ever Champions League winner who played in the final, who answers the call in the very next final.
That's how it sounded on CBS Sports Network. Ethan Horvath then saved a PK following a handball in the box. The U.S. beat Mexico 3-2 in Denver to win the first title from the historic Nations League. And Simone Biles won her record-tying 7th U.S. all-around gymnastics title last night. Now she tries to become the first woman to repeat at the Olympics in over 50 years. Bill, my friend, back to you.
Oh, Andrew Bogus, my good friend. That was awesome. And by the way, one thing I miss about New York is Friends. I watch so much Friends. Oh, I got to get Tom on the mic because I control it. I watch so much Friends while I was in New York City.
I'm going to hang up the Skype in a second here.
I'm contractually obligated to have this conversation, but it comes to an end now. Until tomorrow, at Andrew Bogus on Twitter. No, Friends is really, really a TV show. And that,
bye, I mean, Bill. Have a great day. Enjoy the basketball tonight. I'll see you tomorrow.
Great talking to you.
Was it?
I'm going to call you on Skype at 5 in the morning tomorrow. We'll brush our teeth together. Andrew Bogus on Twitter.
Yeah, they have friends here, too.
Oh, I turned you off.
They have friends here, too, you know.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
They don't only air Friends in New York.
I know, but I felt like a very New York thing, right? Like, I felt like I was bonding with Bogus, and we were talking about Friends, and then there was a laugh track, and It made my head hurt, but it wasn't as loud as the chatter on the street. There's a love triangle. Oh, yeah. I mean, Ross was whining like some kind of beaten puppy, like all the time. Like, that's acting. It was really great. Let's do. I actually don't know what's going to happen. Buy or sell. Nice to meet you. Buy or sell. How's that? You know, don't even tell us. Tom's had some technology issues. We're going to find out what it looks like next year on CBS Sports Radio.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
Hello, Thomas, in L.A.
Hello, William.
You've had a day.
I have had a day. I've had a weekend. I've had a week. But it's great to be face-to-face with you and on a microphone.
Can I ask you a buy or sell question?
Sure, of course.
You got here. Couldn't get the microphone working for you. Mm-hmm. A little bit ago. Mm-hmm. Excellent help from one of the engineers.
Yes, thank you.
No internet.
That's right.
Had some trouble with the printer.
That's right.
Coffee was difficult to figure out.
Yes, but I did make it.
Yeah. You got there.
I got it.
You produced the hell out of that cup of coffee.
It's buy, the one thing I succeeded in today.
Buy or sell our West Coast digs?
Buy.
Buy.
I like it here. It's a beautiful facility. We just had a real rough morning, that's all.
Somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Exactly.
A little office space for you.
That's right. That happens from time to time. It's all right. So Terry Stotts is out as the Portland Trail Blazers head coach as of Friday night, which was not a surprise at all. His potential replacement, however, is a very intriguing question, as the opportunity to coach one of the best and hungriest players in the league, and Dame Lillard, is incredibly enticing. You would think Dame wasted no time naming Jason Kidd as the number one coach on his wish list just hours after the news of Stotts' departure. But Kidd has already withdrawn his name from consideration for the job. The current Lakers assistant hasn't had a head gig since he led the Bucks from 2014 to 2018 and is apparently interested in another head job, just not this one. Buy or sell, Kidd did the right thing to remove himself from the running for the Blazers job.
I'm going to buy. I'm going to give you
buy
my conspiracy theory for why. And I have no evidence of this. I haven't made a call on this. It's just the gut instinct that hit me. There is a really tight-knit fraternity of NBA players who are from the Bay. Jason Kidd, Damian Lillard, Gary Payton. I mean, it's a real thing. And they have a group chat. They're friends, they're mentors, they talk to each other. That decision by Jason Kidd makes me very nervous that Damian Lillard said to Jason Kidd on the sly, "I'm probably not going to be here." That was my takeaway.
Why name him then? Why pull his name into it if you're Dame?
Because you say it in the moment, and then Kidd reaches out. And it's, who knows? Who knows? I mean, it could just be that Kidd doesn't think he can win there, but it's incredibly curious to me that he wouldn't flock to play, excuse me, to coach Damian Lillard, given their connection.
All right, so on Friday, I asked you about the weekend Yankees-Red Sox series, the first of the season, and you expressed confidence in the Sox, buying that they would win at least two of the three games. Well, Boston won all three, as you heard Bogus say in the updates. They're in their first sweep in the Bronx in a full decade, and this has led to some fierce backlash in New York. The Yankees have now dropped to fourth in the AL East. They trailed the Rays by 6.5 games, Boston by 5.5 games, and now Toronto by a half game, which has led to discussion about Aaron Boone's job security and the performance of longtime GM Brian Cashman. Buy or sell, the Yankees need to make a serious change soon.
Man, how long has Cashman been there? It feels like it's 20 years.
Very long time, yeah.
Yeah.
Even longer. Since 1998.
That is just absolutely insane. I mean, look, I would not swap out the GM. I think Cashman has earned absolutely the right to continue in that role. And as Mark Cuban said about his head coaching situation, sometimes the grass is greener. I mean, the Yankees have, the seventh best pitching staff by earned run average, I believe, in baseball. What they're not doing is scoring runs, which is just bizarre. No, I'm going to sell that for now.
Sell.
It's way too early to make a decision. But I think if you get to, you know, the All-Star break, you get to mid-July, and the Yankees, because this is the kind of team that does this and just wins 13 out of 16 games, and they're fine. I would be open to a managerial change if this is where you're at in August.
All right, so heading to France, Serena Williams was the highest remaining seed and only top 20 player on her side of the draw at the French Open, but she could not capitalize on the tremendous opportunity to finally tie Margaret Court's record 24th major championship. She lost. She's out on the men's side. Roger Federer managed to win his marathon third round match, but then withdrew after winning, saying, quote, "It's important that I listen to my body." Buy or sell, both Serena Williams and Roger Federer are done winning majors.
Oh, that's such a good, depressing question. I buy it, unfortunately.
Buy.
I think Serena is done. I watch a lot of tennis, and she just doesn't look like she has physically the ability. And just there's more depth in the women's game. Like, yes, there's Nadal and Djokovic and some young players, but the women's game is just full of incredibly talented women. Federer is a closer call. And both of them, by the way, if they're going to win, are going to win on grass, probably. I mean, that is the service that remains for them now, which means Wimbledon soon. But I think that ship has sailed, unfortunately. The two greatest tennis players for now of all time.
Luka Doncic's playoffs might be over, but the star is certainly impressed in Dallas's ill-fated seven-game series with the Clippers. In that Game 7 yesterday, Doncic poured in 46 points and scored or assisted on 77, the most in a Game 7 in NBA history. In the series as a whole, he became the youngest player to average 35 points per game in a postseason. We've seen greatness from Trae Young, Dame Lillard, Kawhi Leonard, and many others in these playoffs, but buy or sell, Doncic has been the single most impressive player in the NBA playoffs.
I'm actually going to sell that.
Sell.
And, you know, I opened the show talking about his excellence and how remarkable he's been, but I think I'm going to go Trae Young or Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi's not as impressive statistically offensively, but he was an equal force defensively throughout that series. And Trae Young has carried the burden like Luka by himself, you know, minus stars. Unlike Luka, he's gotten through. And I know he's got more help, he's got more depth. But something about what Trae Young has done and the numbers he's put up, I think the sixth most points in the history of the NBA through your first six playoff games. It is that. I think it's Trae and Kawhi by a hair.
The Suns and Nuggets start their second round series tonight. Both teams continue to generate hope that a special run is underway. The Suns are 5-point favorites for this game one in Phoenix. Meanwhile, the over-under on Devin Booker's scoring total is set at 29.5. Booker is, of course, fresh off a staggering 47-point performance to close out the Lakers. Buy or sell, Booker will score over 30 in game one tonight.
Yeah, I'll go the over. I think...
Buy.
I'll buy it. I think the Suns and Utah can win in five. I actually think there's a lot of separate. And I know that the Nuggets are much more mentally tough than the Clippers. And the Clippers are, I think, much more talented with Jamal Murray out. I believe in Utah and I believe in Phoenix. I just believe in what each of those teams are selling.
And we'll end here. The Nets are narrow 1.5-point favorites for Game 2 against the Bucks in Brooklyn tonight, despite the fact that they will once again be without James Harden. They, of course, managed to win Game 1 anyway, and they do continue to have a phenomenal-looking Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, who are just playing so well, while the Bucks' X-Factor Chris Middleton struggled in Game 1. Buy or sell, the Bucks need to win tonight to have a realistic chance to win this series.
I'm going to sell.
Sell.
I think it's hugely helpful, but that Clippers-Mavericks series was such a remarkable reminder of how weird things are this year, and I don't want to wish this into the universe, but Anthony Davis didn't become really unavailable in a significant way into the Lakers until, you know, several games into that series. We already have a James Harden problem, and I do worry about Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, just because of their injury history and the way to which injuries have defined. I mean, really, I worry about everybody. I mean, I worry about Donovan Mitchell. I worry about Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, who each have some history of injuries. I worry about Jokic just because he's played every single game this year. I mean, I can go down to every team and every roster. There's reason to be concerned. They've really messed with the recovery time and the healing time for these players because they had to, but it's made for a really strange NBA season. Buy or sell Los Angeles over New York.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah, that's a mean one.
I can't pass?
I mean, it's buy or sell.
The sample sizes aren't fair. I just haven't spent enough time comparatively. Man, ultimate trader move. I'm going to buy that.
Wow,
buy.
I love that. I can't wait to put you on a plane back to New York. Land of the rousing cheers.
I can wait for that.
Of the betrayed.
No thanks.
They're both amazing.
Yeah. And so different.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, amazing and different.
They could be different countries.
Yeah, exactly.
Thomas DiBenedetto, producer, underscore Tom. Great work by him. Thank you to Andrew Bogish. Thank you to Mr. Bilotti on the board. I'm Bill Ryder. The show is Ryder Than You. We'll be back here tomorrow on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for listening.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.